Hi, this is Chris Kepler with Does This Happen to You? The podcast where we explore the more bizarre ways of getting through your day. This week, we continue with the Oh My God series, and here is episode 25, A Couple of Nights in Jouarre, part 2. In the previous episode, 24, the entire group managed to make it up the hill to Jouarre, and we had just sat down to dinner when I was summoned to the bar by the owner, who indicated that there was water dripping from the room above the bar, Oh My God's room. A few moments before, to the bar to assess the water damage, we entered the dining room, which held about 40 tables, and at least half of them were occupied. Yet the owner employed only a single waiter, a common practice in most of Europe. Why is it that a single French server can manage an entire dining room, while the rough equivalent in the U.S. would require at least 6 waiters to cover an equally sized crowd? Before we all sat down, I ordered a couple of bottles of champagne for the table. This was much to the chagrin of Oh My God, who had sworn off the elixir of the gods. Unprovoked, over the course of the last couple days, he provided 3 different reasons, at 3 different times, as to why he was no longer drinking champagne. He saw it as some sort of twisted tribute to his mother, who apparently claimed to receive headaches from champagne. Truth be told, it is very rare to actually get headaches from champagne. It is not all that uncommon, however, to get headaches from cheap sparkling wine. In order to mask the problems with the wine, the producers add copious amounts of sugar, acid, sulfur, you name it. He seemed to have realized that my earlier claim that the champagne was the local version of beer was but a ruse. He proclaimed his refusal to drink champagne as some sort of bizarre protest in support of his Canadian country folk. He insisted that no one in Canada, except for the Cougs in Quebec, wanted to have any association with French products or culture. The urge to question why the solidarity did not manifest itself when considering signing up for his current trip was palpable. After I ordered the champagne and the waiter was about to turn to fetch the bottles, Oh My God's hand shot straight up in the air, as if he were a second grader who suddenly knew either the response to his teacher's query or realized that he desperately needed to make an immediate trip to the restroom. Startled, but unfazed, the waiter slowly turned and with a wry smile inquired, "Oui?" I certainly knew what was next, as it had become a dinner ritual. Oh My God was about to ask what beers were available. Even though he had asked the same exact question only moments before in the bar, apparently, since we were now sitting in the adjacent room, he somehow assumed that the list of 3 beers in the bar did not apply to the dining half of the same establishment. Before he could even utter the first word, CC interjected. "Oh My God, if you order a beer, I might have to slap you silly. Do you have any idea where we are? You are going to have some champagne." Oh My God, whose arm remained as rigid and vertical as a lightning rod, turned to CC with the look of a preteen who had just been told there was no longer a working TV in the house. Having captured his attention, CC, who clearly had decided to act in loco parentis, cast an evil glare his way that left no doubt that she meant business. Defeated, Oh My God slowly lowered his hand, but not on the vertical plane as most would. Rather, with his arm still erect, he slowly made a forward arc as if his arm were the second hand of a clock, or if he were performing a slight derivation of a fascist salute. His hand landed on the table with an audible smack of petulant defiance that narrowly missed his water glass. CC snapped back in his direction as she raised a single finger, pointed roughly in his direction, and wagged it back and forth, marking her disgust with his show of resistance. It was at this moment that I had been summoned to the bar, so although I did not visually witness his response, I could have sworn that Oh My God let out a bit of a whimper, similar to a dog at the table trying to beg for scraps. After my assessment of the damage in the bar, I got back to the table just as the two bottles of champagne had arrived. Oh My God, who normally exhibits horrible posture at the table, sunk even further into his chair upon sight of the bottles, resulting in his chin about 20 centimeters, 8 inches, off the table. I walked over to him and said in just above a whisper that I needed to talk to him in the bar. He first looked a bit terrified, once again in second grade, and was ordered to go to the principal's office. Quickly, though, his mood changed, and his face transformed. No doubt he had just replayed my words in his head, and this time he registered the word bar and the glorious suds located there. He maintained his adopted age, but this time it was Christmas morning, and his face could not hide his pure glee as he was about to descend the stairs to a living room filled with gifts. He momentarily glanced over to CC, as if he were looking for permission, but she was otherwise occupied with the bartender opening the first bottle. Not wanting to wait another second, which could be accompanied by some sort of CC chastisement, he leaped out of his seat on the verge of giddy. As we headed to the bar, I dared not look behind me for fear that I would see him skipping. When we got to the bar, he still had his huge grin on his face. I took him to the corner of the room and pointed up to the ceiling where the water was still dripping. As I started to explain that the drip was coming from his room, his grin slowly faded, replaced by a look of bewilderment. He glanced at the untended beer tap no fewer than 3 times, certain that it was the reason he was there, but puzzled as to why no one was pouring him a glass. His level of distraction caused me to say his name aloud several times to try to win his attention. If he had worn his tie, I would have been tempted to yank it and yell, "Heel!" Eventually, it got through to him that A, there was a problem in his room, and B, he was not in the bar to get a beer. It was clearly evident which of the two disappointed him more. As we left the bar to go up to his room, he was looking over his shoulder at the beer tap, as if he were hoping that it would follow us up the stairs. As we approached his room, it hit me. The place was no doubt a complete pigsty. I had visited his room before, and although it was by no means a stellar hotel, I really liked the owner, and I was no doubt going to be embarrassed when he witnessed the way that Oh My God had treated his room. Oh My God was barely moving as he labored up the stairs. Initially, I thought he was perhaps embarrassed about having us all in his room, and was hoping to delay the event, perhaps like the condemned as they made their way to the gallows. More likely, he was saddened by his unrequited thirst back in the bar. As Oh My God fumbled to unlock the door, I considered turning my head and averting my eyes from the disaster that undoubtedly awaited on the other side of the door. But when you know a train wreck is coming, it is very difficult not to watch. He opened the door. Nothing. The room was actually fine. I dare say it was even in better shape than mine was at the time. Maybe this was not going to be so bad after all. Perhaps the leak was an interior plumbing issue and had nothing to do with Oh My God at all. Then we made our way to the bathroom. Oh My God. To say that it looked like a bomb had just gone off is an insult to bombs everywhere. All 3 of his cycling shorts and jerseys were strewn about. Not as if he had just washed them, the stench suggested otherwise, but rather as if he had been wearing all 3 simultaneously and suddenly needed to remove them instantly, due to either a violent need to get his bathing over as quickly as possible, the sudden realization that a colony of fire ants had just invaded, or the promise of intense, passionate sex. Okay, that last one made me throw up a little bit in my mouth. There were also 2 empty beer bottles, a third of a baguette, and an empty jar of Nutella. No indication on whether the jar was emptied by the other two-thirds of the bread, but my guess was yes. A French newspaper, an open box of Petit Ecolier cookies with half a cookie left, a jockstrap, ew, his bike, and about 5 centimeters, 2 inches of water on the floor. The shower was a bathtub with a hand spraying device, which was dangling over the side of the tub, but no water was emanating from it. The owner, to his credit, paid no attention to the ancillary damage, but asked me what happened. I then translated the question to Oh My God. He went into a several-minute, virtually incomprehensible diatribe, concluding with him turning on the water to the shower head. Instantly, water not only shot out of the head, but also out of an apparent hole in the hose very near where it was attached to the faucet. The owner acted quickly, shut off the water, and started apologizing profusely. He was turning a bright shade of red, embarrassed about the malfunctioning hose. Since he had only just met Oh My God, he obviously did not suspect that the hole in the hose was likely caused by some act of the room's occupant. I was betting that he had used it as some sort of climbing rope so that he could get into the tub, or perhaps as a tether as he tried to reach the remaining petit écolier over on the vanity. Regardless, there was no doubt in my mind that he was at the root of the mishap. The owner had already summoned a housekeeper, however, and she arrived with a mop and a stack of towels and set about cleaning up Oh My God's mess, so I felt no need to further interrogate my anti-diva. Instead, we returned to the dining room, where the others seemed to be having a grand time. Champagne has that effect on people. Luckily, they had not yet polished off both bottles, so I was able to get a flute as soon as I sat down. We were seated at a rather large table in the center of the dining room, and fortunately, Oh My God was as far away as possible given the setup. I was sitting at one end of the table and was quickly engaged in conversation with Cece, Paul, and Maggie. Cece was laughing about the climb up to Jouar and mentioned several times how I had rescued her by coming back down and taking all her gear and bike back up. She went so far as to say the words, "My knight in skin-tight armor," after the third mention. Oh boy. I did not have much time to ponder this potentially troubling development before our meals arrived, which luckily gave me the opportunity to change the subject. I was anxious to hear what Paul thought of the food, as he had told me that he fancied himself a bit of a gourmet chef wannabe, and one of the main reasons he came on the trip was to pay close attention to the food and how it was prepared. Our pleasant conversation continued for a few minutes before I was nudged by Maggie, who then motioned down to the other end of the table. The sight was not pleasant. Oh My God was gorging himself. He seemed to be a contestant in an eating competition, as he was packing as much food as he could into his mouth without seemingly chewing. I was aghast, but as repulsive as it was, there was something odd that I could not quite place to the way he was devouring his plate of beef bourguignon. Then I noticed his knife and fork. They were still at their proper table placement, untouched. He was eating the dish with his fingers. Oh My God. If you enjoyed this story, please let me know. Thanks so much for listening. And next week, we're on to a new story, unless the drunken cyclist writes another episode.